worked so far, but we're not out yet.
I wanna know what you're thinking. There are some things you can't hide. I wanna know what you're feeling. Tell me what's on your mind.
Hello, this is Daryl War doing a either May 2019 update or spoiler cast. I'm not sure which yet. I've been working on the retrospective to 15 and I'm still not happy with it. It's just a technical difficulties issue. But yeah, the ready to go. That was pretty exciting. And hopefully at least one person out there recognizes when I once left the link to the Republica song on my fanfiction profile. So you recognize the song from that. Anyway, yeah, I'm just going to go through what I can. There's a lot of pen pal stuff. There's stuff for 20 and 21. I noticed somebody checking out the Crackly spoiler cast. I highly recommend that for coming down off of the big business social media high. There are user-funded social media out there. I can't really name them all. I haven't investigated all of them, but they have less of those problems that the big business ones have. So, just getting back to Pen Friends, who I'm extremely grateful for. Thank you so much. But one thing I really, really, really want to apologize for to one Pen Friend in particular. If she hears this, I don't know if she will. Maybe someday. But I thought that she was going to watch the Dark Shadows 2012 movie, which I have made a huge welcome for people who are fans of that movie. There are more than you think. But in order to understand my show, she watched House of Dark Shadows from 1970, and I feel so bad. I feel so bad, because I love House of Dark Shadows, but we were able to view that film with company. You definitely, in this day and age, need company. A lot of us do, anyway. To watch House of Dark Shadows 1970, because it is very much the horror movie version of all the stuff. I mean, it really... In episode 19, it's going to come up. There's going to be a joke about it that Roger makes, and, you know, for in the pit, but... Yeah, I feel so bad for her. I want to apologize so bad. I'm going to have to get to her letter to explain a lot of stuff. I'm very happy that she endured it. I am very grateful she endured it, because those are more of the actual characters I am working with, even if it's in the horror movie format. And what did I say in a log entry? That Barnabas and Maggie fans go to House of Dark Shadows to get screen captures to romanticize the coupling from that horror movie. And I am included in this fun yet startling group of people. All right, so let's see if I can get through this before my sweetie needs to take over the console. Yeah, I kind of feel like I really want to tell her, please watch the 2012 film now. Another thing, well, okay, so going back to House of Dark Shadows here. It was so many years ago. The only way that we could watch it, I saw on YouTube, I don't know how many years ago, like a decade maybe, and I was watching on YouTube these trailers for it, and I was just giggling my head off, because they do that stuff with Barnabas getting close to the camera and going out of focus the way that it would be in real life if somebody's coming at you and you can't converge fast enough. You can't cross your eyes fast enough to focus them. They just go out of focus when they're coming at you. And it would make me giggle the same way that spooky guy in Carnival of Souls, if you've seen that, that old black and white movie. He would come towards the camera and go out of focus, or they would just zoom him in and go out of focus. So it would make me giggle. I really wanted to see House of Dark Shadows because it was just cracking me up with Barnabas coming towards the camera that way. And so the only way back then, years ago, that we could get that was through a rental only through iTunes. So my cousin had to, you know, the Star Trek fan cousin, he had to come over to our house and set up his laptop, and we had to like get the money and the card and rent House of Dark Shadows and then set it up to a 20-year-old television set, old boob tube. And we had to do all this funky wiring just to watch House of Dark Shadows. That was the better experience, to watch House of Dark Shadows. That's why I'm saying I'm so sorry to this pen friend who endured House of Dark Shadows alone. Because I've tried to watch it alone, and I just screen caps. That's all you can do, screen caps. Otherwise, when we first watched it, and we had to just sit through it, it was a rental, but there was so much space in between certain scenes, and so little dialogue. we were able to just kind of treat it like an MST3K thing with my cousin, who had not seen any of the soap opera program, and me and my husband just saying, this is who this person is, blah, 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 there's that person, oh, here comes so-and-so, okay, they're a little different than in the show, da-da-da-da-da. We could just fill him in and enjoy it ourselves by filling him in with all of this talk. And I was just getting so elated at all of these 1970s flashback pieces, like the red cobalt candle holders and, oh my gosh, the cigarette machine. And I remember going to Jeff Kenny on social media on Dark Shadows for All and saying, where's the cigarette machine? Because I remember those from the 80s, man. And so, and that was the thing that I pointed out real quick. I'm like, there's a cigarette machine! But it was a totally different experience. And it was funny, too, because at some point, Barnabas and Maggie are holding hands, walking through the woods. He's got his daylight ability back, and he's all happy and everything. And they're holding hands. And we're just looking at her dress and cap and everything. It's like, it must be cold because I think she had a scarf. She had a cap on, but she's got a mini skirt. And we're looking at the clothing, and I say, it looks like she's wearing a McCall's dress pattern. And my cousin, who was about 10 years my junior, stopped and sort of looked at me like I was digging out this super old memory. And it would make sense because our parents were about the same ages. So we would both have that understanding of digging through a family closet or digging through our parents' closet and finding an old McCall's dress pattern and asking, what is this? Just like everything else that was from the 1970s in those closets with dust and everything. Yeah, much different experience to watch House of Dark Shadows with friends and loved ones and all that. So, oh my gosh, Dawn Briscoe was so hot. In House of Dark Shadows, that's what I remember. And then there were these parts where I remember taking screenshots of House of Dark Shadows and going, wow, you know, there are certain parts of this, the cinematography, that reminded me of Clue the movie. I'm just like, wow, like, that's cool. But otherwise, it was, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I'm so grateful she endured it. I'm so grateful because she will have better understanding of what the Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows characters look and sound like. But otherwise, you know, it's funny because it is a horror movie, so you don't want to watch it alone for that sake, but it's also scary in other ways where you really shouldn't watch it alone. But I definitely encourage getting a copy. I mean, it's fascinating. It's very fascinating. All right. Well, I still have the time here. Let's see if I can get to some more spoilers for what's coming up in The Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows. I hope you enjoy A Happier Daryl War here. All right, I'm going to add some spoilers for episode 20 here. I think I talked about it in the Halloween show last year. Let's see, we basically got, after Happy Hour in Hell, we're going to be finding Amy Jennings. Going to be figuring stuff like that out, and it's very interesting just because original Dark Shadows, it was Elizabeth finding Amy. Well, in this case, Carolyn Stoddard's coming home from Schooner Bay. She finds Amy instead. It's kind of fascinating just having everybody kind of where they were, but a few replacements and that kind of thing. And it's kind of funny, too, just because Carolyn Stoddard's kind of wiped out from seeing this something that she's not sure what it is. So, of course, Hoffman's going to start to offer a sedative, and she's like, no, there's brandy bottles in the other room. No, I don't need that. Because she's getting used to all these things that it's like, all right, we just understanding clearly where she is, where she grew up, what's going on, and this is just the way it is, and you just work it out, especially after meeting with a ghost in Schooner Bay and making friends with another lady who's like, yeah, it's just run of the mill. You just have, I just have a ghost in the house. It's just the way it is. So that, I think, helps Carolyn Stoddard a lot. You just recognize, yeah, this isn't the only place where some of these weird things happen. And Amy and David meet, and it's kind of the same as in the original show, just because we are bringing in the Jennings kids, so I think Amy's going to be easier to figure out, okay, and not do things so soap opera-y. And then, yeah, the Peter and Gomez stuff, which, plenty of fun there, just like I talked about it before, where there's the seesaw effect, but they do finally come to an understanding of how to help Peter Bradford be Peter Bradford in full name, kind of getting close to that. And then, kind of romantic scene with Maggie and Barnabas. Barnabas is a little like, oh, wait, what are we dealing with? What's going on? But he's just too high on having his Josette back, also getting to know her new persona, and it just, catching up on his reading and all those things. Just, okay, how normal is normal here? And she gets him through it. Then, of course, Maggie and Chris encounter each other, and Maggie has some things where she's like, all right, how do I find out if he's the cause of another problem that's coming up? And in between that, there is the ghost of Captain Daniel Gregg and the ghost of Sarah Collins meeting on the cliff and just going through how to digest the changes happening, which I really love that scene. I think I talked about it before a while ago. And then back to Chris Jennings trying to respond to a question where Maggie is just almost in like this fictional way trying to say, look, we're not in a soap opera anymore. Don't dance around this stuff. We're in a relief series. Quit playing soap opera. We're in a relief series. Just let it go. And he won't. And Saved by the Bell, Carolyn walks in and they reunite, etc., etc. She sends him upstairs to duck to his sister. Then it's sort of at that point that Maggie's like, okay, I can talk to Carolyn about this. Carolyn's reasonable, at least at this point, in what's going on around here. And Carolyn Stoddard asked the question of, hey, what's wrong? And so they just go through a lot of stuff. And it really is a good catch-up scene for Maggie Evans and Carolyn Stoddard. And it was funny because Helena's response to this was a little like, well, it was a little fast. And then we both sort of realized it's like, no, Carolyn is dealing with this because she's had to deal with all these other things. So this is the way they would respond if everybody let their hair down and understood everything and had some jokes in between. And so it seems like, yeah, it's original characters from the original show, but they're not playing as much soap opera anymore. They're just like, okay, what is the explanation for this, that, and the other thing, so we could just work it out and carry on. So at first she was kind of like, well, I'm not sure she would. Well, I guess she would, considering this is the pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows and not really exactly Dark Shadows anymore. Then there is David and Amy's plan to hit the West Wing, but Chris enters, blah, blah, blah. And he does the same thing. With the original Dark Shadows, Chris Jennings was always like, I'm gonna stay, no I'm not. I'm gonna stay, no I'm not. So in this instance, he's doing the same thing. He's promising Amy, I'm gonna stay, he changes his mind, I'm gonna find you another place to live, blah, 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 blah. And so he's irritating Maggie. He's confusing Carolyn. He's angering his sister Amy. Everybody's getting fed up. And Milligan and Hecubus are having a great time, just like, oh, here we go again. He's having another indecipherable conversation with somebody. And that's how Milligan and Hecubus are just so wonderful, because they rather more relate to being audience members than involved in what the characters are doing. So then it winds up pretty much the same as on the original Dark Shadows, where Carolyn's like, oh, come on, Chris, let's just come have a drink with me and Tony at the Blue Whale. So rather than Chris and Carolyn just going to have a drink, I've added Tony in there too. And somewhere in there, there's a telephone conversation. Tony calls, Carolyn explains everything. And because Tony Peterson is also aware, I mean, he's been introduced to the ghost in Schooner Bay as well, so it's just like, okay, I'm gonna have my office job, and then I'm gonna have this really wild romance with this lovely young lady that I really adore, who just so happens to have a whole lot of supernatural stuff going on at home. He just deals with it. I really think that's one of the great things about keeping Tony Peterson in and having him involved in the Captain Gregg scenarios coming from the ghost of Mrs. Muir. And that helps Tony Peterson just to digest everything, because he'd already had to deal with Cassandra. Then, well, how about a world in which that seems to magically go away and you get what you want and he's just all for it? You know, what else do I gotta do? A whole lot of boring legal work. Oh, that's a lot of fun. And then it ends pretty much the same way that the Blue Whale scenario with the werewolf ends in the original Dark Shadows. But of course, Carolyn and Tony are off, you know, there. So that is about it for episode 20. Now, okay, important thing to recognize about The Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows. In my formulating of it, I've got to go through everything that's happened already in the radio drama, anything that I might have missed. Like I said, I'm going to work on Willie confronting Wadsworth. Why did you say you didn't know me? And him. And he's going to have an answer. You know Wadsworth. He's got an answer for everything. And Willie Loomis knows that. He knows that about Wadsworth. Because in The Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows, Willie, as a very, 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 very young man, was at Hill House in Clue the Movie. That's how I worked it out. So I go through what has already transpired in previous episodes. I finished 19 and 20. They're going through grassroots. I'll get to that in a little while here. And so I just have to line up certain scenes that will be applicable to move the continuity. It's always been difficult working with a daytime drama because you never know how much time has passed. I mean, you just have to play it by ear, follow your nose, all the stuff. O'Sheen's been marvelous. One of the first scenes is going to be Bill and Liz on the boat. They're just going to keep having these discussions. I would also love to get a little bit of what Elizabeth and Lily Munster are enjoying on the darn boat. And I haven't been able to get to that. It's just all this catch-up time between Bill Malloy's ghost and Elizabeth Stoddard. And O'Sheen's been wonderful. I mean, I do not give her enough credit, and she says nonsense. I say I should post more credit to you, and she says nonsense, and I go, But she's just... The Bill stuff, give her half the credit at least for The Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows. But she pushed it. And sometimes I go, well, I'm not quite sure Elizabeth really had these feelings for Bill Malloy. But I'm cool with going down that direction, because it's possible. I agree with O'Sheen Navoy. It is possible. So there is a little bit of that, just picking up on all these things. And O'Sheen was just happy with my updates, and I still need to work on it. So because of something that happens in 20, Maggie has to go and ask Bob the bartender at the Blue Whale about what happened, etc., etc. And there might be a little... I am not sure about this. I would love some discussion about this where something happens where it's like, you know, I hired that girl from out of town and I feel, you know, another one from Walton's Mountain bites the dust because we don't know where the barmaid comes from. It's that kind of thing. We don't know where she doesn't even have a name. She doesn't have a name. So it's like red shirt. Okay. But still, it makes the point. And then, of course, I've got to get to Amy and David, and unfortunately, I haven't synchronized the turn of the screw stuff with Amy and David with the werewolf stuff as it goes along in Dark Shadows, where I think the werewolf stuff is ahead of where it originally was, and I have to try and catch the turn of the screw stuff up with Amy and David, and hopefully I can cut some corners and make it even, and then, of course, you know, you guys are probably all blown away, like, well, she's dealing with Bewitched, and the monsters, and Adam's family, and all this other stuff. Well, yeah, it's crazy. That's why I'm explaining it. And then there will be Barnabas and Maggie. Actually, it's wonderful. What I love, what's coming up in 21, it's going to be similar to what we had at Wycliffe in episode 14. Just all these people coming together. It's going to be Barnabas, Maggie, Hoffman, Stokes, and Willie and Wadsworth. So six people. So Stokes kind of replaces, you know, Sam was in one of the six people in that scene in episode 14, you know, with Sam Evans. So in this case, it's six people, but it's going to be Stokes instead of Sam. So it's going to have that just back and forth. And I'm still loving what's going on with Julia and Elliot. Also looking forward, you know, I'm watching The Haunting of Collinwood. I think the one thing I'm going to really save is that exorcism by Professor Stokes, because, yeah, that was good. He's got some great lines. Yeah, there's so many things that I'm tossing, but I just performing all these characters, they're wonderful. They are wonderful. So, yeah, if it sounds like I'm having fun again, I am, and it's all thanks to the valid support of pen friends and talkers and correspondents and that kind of thing. That's where it's coming from. It's not just me and my husband. So... We've got that scene in episode 21. Yeah, definitely. Just, I am really enjoying the romance growing between Dr. Hoffman and Professor Stokes. Just loving it. And Barnabas and Maggie, of course. There's a lot of other things. Yeah, that is something that is going on with Maggie Evans. She's been Kitty Soames. She's been Josette Dupré. So when these ghosts kind of come in... She's going to slowly remember some stuff. I've already been seeing stuff in my head of how to rearrange things. So whether fictionally or in personal experience with reincarnation, the memories aren't usually right there. They're not just all flooding in. It goes kind of step by step. There's associations that bring these things up like a bubble. I've talked about that before. And I see that clearly enough just through real life. Good example of this is when you're in a group of people and you're talking about a set of movies or something and you can't remember the actor's name, and we come up with weird ways to make associations to, oh, it started with this letter, or it sounded like this, or this person looked like this person, or sounded like this person, and then somehow it sort of morphs into, and then the memory comes up from one of the people who are in the room. and then we get it. And I've had conversations with a lot of people, especially Lisa. I've got it on the tip of my tongue. And we work it out and we get that name. There's a certain things or that movie, just you work on it so hard. So with Maggie's memory, it kind of works in the same way, just like Sam is Andre or any of these other reincarnations that we might be dealing with. They even said it, you know, I was watching Haunting of Collinwood, and there was a point, that extra episode that they tacked on the DVD, where Beth's ghost tells Dr. Hoffman he thinks of David as a reincarnation of Jameson. Maybe he is! Who knows, you know, but they have definitely said the word reincarnation on the darn show. You know, and in some circles, it is totally obvious, and they're not as easy to find, but yeah. Reincarnation, it is obvious. It's going on, just, it's a yet another thing in the Supernatural series. So, she's not going to remember his name. Maggie is not going to remember Quentin's name, but she's going to remember him slowly. So then we can, that actually helps to cut out a lot of the weird stuff of, I'm so scared. She's going to be like, oh my gosh, that guy. And slowly remember who he is through various episodes of The Pit, knock on wood, that we get there. And so, there is that. But the thing about this scene with the six people in episode 21 in The Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows is that they're focusing on what do we do about the werewolf situation. There's obviously one here, and they're all coming together to do that. And so with Hoffman being a doctor who's interested in the supernatural, studied it, and Professor Stokes, who's a professor who's interested in the supernatural and studied it, and there were, you know, and even she, Dr. Hoffman, has to say, Elliot, we're here to do what we do best. It's just wonderful. And even when I was watching Haunting of Collinwood, there was something where he was going to do the exorcism, and Dr. Hoffman is there, and he says, I need you, Julia. Something to the effect of, I need you, Julia. And I could just hear David Foley as Hecuba saying, ooh! And then he gets slapping it. And that happened at some point in The Pit, too, where Hecuba did the junior high school, ooh, with Barnabas and Maggie. So I could see it, like, right there. It's just great stuff's coming out of here. And then I've got to go over with a few friends when I can this stuff with Samantha and Darren that I hope will be in 21. I'm not positive because right now it's at about 6,500 and that's cutting it a little too close for word count for the time. But I'm going to hope for the best. I'm going to work the best that I can. So, yeah, Jonah helped a lot with what I was working on with Samantha and Darren where I was like, can I say human? And he started talking about all these variables, like, no, I think it's like the witches are different in the same way that the elves are different from humans in The Lord of the Rings, blah, blah, blah. And I wasn't sure, and then I talked to my mom about it, and then I went through the Bewitched Continuum, whatever book I got, and I found something that Dr. Bombay had said, or Darren had said to Dr. Bombay, and something like that. And I said, okay, Jonah, you're right. So I've got to say maybe people, persons, individuals, that sort of word usage. I can't say that they're all human. I wanted to say that they're all human, but maybe they're not. So these are all the crazy variables that are just going on in the creation of this. I mean, what? I brought it to the internet to get help, not like critiquing help, but to get like geekdom help. And yeah, so, but things worked out the way that they worked out. Big businesses take advantage. You just do what you got to do. And that's the other thing about this podcast series, that when I've seen the deluge downloads from all over the place, basically, you don't have to download every last podcast unless you're doing a thesis on the bystander effect. You know, me and another pen pal discovered that that was what was happening to me. So I'm just saying, focus on the radio drama episodes if you can. But if you want a deluge download, then okay. But I'm just warning you, it has been awful. So that is the documentary version of The Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows, but I want to focus on the radio drama. I've been wanting that since 2013. And then we got some stuff with Chris and Carolyn, trying to figure that out. Tony Peterson's voice is going to change a little bit. I did focus on Bogard in, I think it was episode 20. Yeah, so there's going to be a lot of changes. And that's the thing. I mean, I got to change some of the way that I'm doing stuff because if anybody remembers, once upon a time, I told Autumn I didn't have that much Addams Family from the 1960s to work with, and I couldn't find enough Blossom Rock as Grandmama, so I shot for Carol Kane. But in episode 13, I could do Fester because I found plenty of Jackie Coogan as Fester. You know, I wasn't going for Christopher Lloyd. There is that. So if you listen to 15, you know that I'm kind of starting to change it a little bit. So I've just got to change it as we go. So yeah, that is about it. We'll see which podcast makes it out first, whether it's this one or the retrospective for episode 15. And yeah, let's see what I can add to this. And I wanted to also venture into something that I find extremely important. If you remember from a couple years ago, I had seen the 60 Minutes portion in April 2017 about what was called brain hacking. And along the way, some of these extra podcasts, I wished that there was a different phrase or word for that. Well, there is. It's a bit more descriptive. It's called human downgrading. And I've learned this from focusing on the Center for Humane Technology at humanetech.com. This group of people, nonprofit organization, have been focusing on what I've been worried about since 2013. And that's about the time that they pulled their resources together and came together. That's about that time. And I've heard other tales about people noticing the change in 2013 as well. You would notice that from the very first podcast where I said, okay, what happened to me was creepy and disturbing, but let's hope that this works. The words to that effect. Yeah, it got more activity, but I was going to where I was advised to go, which was certain big business social media sites, and getting a real good dose of what was happening to everyone on a very Super Size Me level, if you've seen that film. I was getting the social media on all these different platforms and go here, go there, and all the crazy that was coming out of that stuff and how crazy it was making me because I was just exposed to it all the time. And how crazy it already made all these other people that were exposing me to their crazy, etc., etc., etc. Yeah, so I felt like I had gotten the 30 days Morgan Spurlock version rather than maybe the an hour or two here when I'm not working version that other people were getting. So the Center for Humane Technology has been looking into this for quite some time. And eventually, Melissa pointed out a program that was investigating some of the stuff that 60 Minutes was, using clips from their show. I eventually find the 60 Minutes, and then I find one of the key people interviewed for that portion of 60 Minutes from 2017 was a gentleman known as Tristan Harris. So, yeah, I've been listening and re-listening and watching and re-watching just about everything that I can from humanetech.com and from the Center for Humane Technology. And there's a long way to go, but at least it started. And what I really enjoyed, there were just so many things that he was saying that the other people there were saying that linked up with things that I have been talking about for years. That's been a relief, of course, but also helped me to understand how helpless my audience has been. Really helpless. I mean, all anyone knows how to do is just rant and rave and be angry and like click and all this garbage. And so I highly recommend looking into them. And I even listened to somebody else's podcast today, interviewing Tristan Harris, called Recode Decode. So Recode Decode had a podcast on May 6th of 2019, and I have listened to it twice. And it helps. It's a little scary just because of how big the news is, but it helps me just because I've had people arguing with me about this stuff forever, and now I'm getting a lot of validation, frankly. Okay. If I was more in touch with them, I'd love to ask, why are people doing this avoid the topic dance around me? I just don't get it, you know, because I've asked so many people, well, what did you enjoy? And after years of like-clicking every last podcast post, I would continually hear the words or read them. I would either audibly hear them or read the words. I haven't really gotten into the show, and I got where they're coming from. I got downloads from their area, and I just go, why is everyone playing dumb? I don't understand. You know, it's not... And guilty! Like, what? And I just get lost, and I'm like, you know, this technology's gotta be doing something that is just messing with people's sense of morality, human decency, what we had, you know, kickback once upon a time. Oh, yeah, this, that, and the other thing. This discussion. Ooh, I've wondered. But when I hear Harris talk about race to the bottom of the brainstem, I go, ah, It's probably something that is harking back to a kind of cave dweller style of, I can't let a potential source of my food know that I'm taking from them. Like something on the order of that, where there's just this weird kind of hairy beastie cave dweller type of response of not allowing the food source to know that you're taking from the food source. Something like that. And it's not just the entertainment. There are very likely a lot of people who just got conditioned to gossip about me, and then they have these kind of groups of isolated, hopefully, groups of people who just gossip about me like I'm a television set or a radio host that you can't talk to, even though I've put my email address everywhere. And yeah, so your food source is the gossip about me. You could contact me at any time, but you don't see that. It's blind to you. And so the food source is what I'm saying, and you're able to get responses from other potential friends or wherever you're getting your social sources about me, gossiping about me, responding to things about me in a way that is astute to you, but to me, it's just like, why are you wasting your time? So, yeah, that is a food source in a certain sense. And I wish you'd stop, frankly. I just go, oh, yeah, that's going back. I mean, we got the articulate language, and we got these other means and the shared interests, and then for some reason, this technology is just doing this weird stuff where people have to feel that they're not doing what they're doing. It scares me, really, and it's scared me for a long time. But again, I followed the bad advice. I went to the scary platforms. I learned what I learned and discovered that, yes, I should have been reaching pen pals as soon as I could reach the pen pals. And some of them, too, also were like, oh, I gotta get out of this. This is crazy. What's going on with everybody? And me, too. We all had those same reactions. I even got information from one gentleman. Yeah, it makes me feel insecure. Because of this, that, and the other thing, and somebody getting more attention than me, and yeah, there's something wrong. There is something wrong. And bless his heart for being able to admit it, because a lot of guys won't. And as one person said from the Center for Humane Technology, that a lot of people don't want to believe that their free will can be tampered with, or that they can be manipulated at all. And I'm coming from a different perspective, but I'm thinking, well, yeah, of course. I mean, I knew as I was a little kid, but I could already tell your environment creates you too. And if you need any proof of that, there's a reason you can understand the language that I'm speaking. It's because you were raised with that same language. Whatever this is, North American English, I don't know. You know me, I go into all kinds of weird, different either dialects or funky accents or catchphrases from different places. But yeah, you understand North American English for a reason. There's something in your environment that allowed you to understand it, or even to speak it. So don't, yeah, I just think, well, of course you can be manipulated, or conditioned would be a nicer word, because of how you were raised. The language you speak or hear, understanding it, that's a very, very easy thing to digest and comprehend. Of course you can be changed. We're all changed by all these things in our lives. So yeah. If the technology gets godlike, it's going to figure you out before you can. Of course. And that's why I go, you know, I've talked about exposure a lot. So how I create a lot of this show is exposing myself to just these certain things over and over and over again. And everybody distracting me, oh, check this out, check that out. That's not going to help make the show go. That's not going to help at all. Throw this in, throw that in. No, that's not helping. Then I go back to how I was able to do all this in the first place. And again, I was right. People who maintained correspondent skills and were pulling away, there have been pen friends, at least one, who was like, hey, I can't write to you as much, but I'll try to keep in touch here and there. And I said, well, we fought it off together, didn't we? And she said, hey, yes, we did. Thank you for helping me get off my own social network addiction. And I felt that was what we were all doing together. Yeah, and I don't understand why, going back to my previous point, I don't understand the avoid the topic dances that people have been doing, other than maybe it's just this thing that has occurred from what's inspired that bottom of the brainstem kind of hairy cave dweller paranoia. Because I remember in Autumn's interview, she said, yeah, I like to stalk your profile because it's fun. When she used the word stalk, she was just playing around. She's just looking at it. It's not a crime. You know, if somebody grabs something that's like a private message and is showing it off, yeah, that's not good. You shouldn't feel good about that. You shouldn't feel okay about that. But if something's been posted publicly, you know, and it's legitimately posted publicly, it's not sleuthing. It's not spying. You might think it is, but I just feel like you didn't get an education about this technology at all. You were just, as James Burke said, handed a computer and told, help yourself. Just bad news. And he said so back in 1979. And now I have a little trick that I would like to share with you about attention. Because that's one of the main things that all this terrible stuff has been about, is getting your attention. And I had many times that my mind would wander, because you know me, my mind is very active. So there were many occasions, whether my husband was still just my boyfriend or whether he was my husband, and we would go on walks or we would hang out, and he said, you haven't been listening to a word I've said, and I'd feel horrible. And I'd say no. But he's been so understanding with me over the years and helped me not feel so bad, like, well, I mean, can you just try and pay attention, Daryl? I came up with a trick, and I'm sure part of that is also being exposed to kids' shows where they show you the word while they speak it, or they introduce the syllables, start to spell it out. So one of the things that I taught myself to do, and I couldn't kind of even visualize when I came up with this, because it was like on a walk, and I'm just, my mind's off in the clouds, just, you know, thinking about what I'm thinking about, not hearing them. So one of the things that I came up with was, as I listened to him, I would make visual pictures of the words he said. Sometimes it would be typed out. They would go in different colors, I'm sure, but usually separate from either a white backdrop or some other backdrop. Just somehow I was able to visualize the words as he spoke them. I would train myself to do that. And then as I did that, as I just saw his words in my mind, as I heard them, I was able to pay attention. Because rather than my mind wandering into daydreams or something else I wanted to think about, I came up with this pattern of, oh, well, if I'm daydreaming, daydream this. Daydream the words that he's speaking one by one. Now, maybe it's because I can type as fast as I can. Maybe that's part of it, because you do have to sort of do that too when you learn how to type. And they teach you in typing class, or at least my typing class, that you can stare at the words, but you memorized where the keys are on the keyboard so that it's just by feel most of the time when you're not messing up. So maybe it has something to do with that too, but that's what I would do. And it really works, and I still do it to this day when my mind wanders. I'm like, okay, now you gotta visualize the words he's speaking, otherwise you're not gonna pay attention. And I tell you that just because sometimes when I have gotten a little bit of feedback, people are mishearing what I'm saying. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, if you're just rushing through this, that's bad. Maybe you should do this trick that I learned. Now, with visualizing words, you know, and sometimes I would just spell them out as he was saying them too. I want to share with you something that some of you will not recognize, but some of you will, especially if you're my age and you had some of these toys once upon a time. Gonna share something a little fun here. Anybody recognize that? The eyes light up. Did your potentially falling asleep stop? That is the Texas Instruments 1980s Speak and Spell that I still have.
Spell fight. Spell extra. Spell yolk, as in egg. Spell guess. Spell iron. Spell wash. Spell field. Spell says. S-A-I-S. Wrong. Try again. Says. S-E-Z. That is incorrect. The correct spelling of says is S-A-Y-S.
so I'll just spell three words here
that I think my particular audience will enjoy.
B-A-R-N-A-B-A-S-A-N-D-J-O-S-E-T-T-E.
And yeah, we were already talking about words and visualizing words. Figured I'd share that bit of fun with you.
Only problem with that is back where the batteries go is kind of...
Maybe I can find another one, I don't know. I'm not sure where the darn thing went to hold the batteries in. But they're in there. Alright, let's see what we got for the grassroots. Between 19 and 20, as I'm building 21. For grassroots going through pit episodes, we really don't have that much as far as responses that I've been sending out. So that's why I haven't released the episodes. But we have, for episode 19, A Happy Hour in Hell, Helena, she's sent everything, and another pen friend, Guiding Light, and the newer Adams Family pal, but I'm waiting on about four people for that, so we've only got 3 out of 5 that we need right now for episode 19, Happy Hour in Hell, before releasing it. That's why I always tell you guys to get in touch with me if you want to help, but I think you're kind of helpless right now. And for 20, working on getting responses from 3 people. Helena's one of them, of course. And my new Adams Family buddy and Guiding Light. So we're just going to keep on working. So that's the main thing to pay attention to, no matter what platform, is the episode list that I want you to pay attention to for the radio drama. That's what I'm looking for. So whatever platform you're using, I'm just saying if it's got an episode name to it, a number, not necessarily something that says intro, just something that says episode blah blah and a title, pay attention to those. That's why I said, you know, go to thepitofultimatedarkshadows.wordpress.com because the list is there. You don't have to listen to all these podcasts. They're just the extra documentaries of what I've been going through. And focusing on the radio drama is what's going to make this series go faster. Just go through and talk to me about what you were enjoying in the radio play episodes. That's the main thing. So that's what I'm going to be working on. And I'm also going to be working on a lot of other stuff that you guys have been hearing about. LibriVox chapters, etc. And letters, definitely. If you are a pen friend, we actually... We are almost at, or pretty much at, the 25 that I was looking for through all these years. It's been almost a whole decade, guys. So, there you have it. I don't know what else to say. Yeah, I do know what to say. For anyone who loves, admires, adores, or just enjoys this series, it was not done for popularity, and it was not done to get video game points. It was shared to find you and to find out what you liked. Because it's about diversity. It really is. In the supernatural, of course, but there are some norms among them. Carolyn Stoddard being a wonderful one. It was about you. As I said before Oshin's interview, when a friend I really miss talking to right now, Lisa Weinberg, thought that maybe I didn't need her company anymore. And I said, no, I only did this to find kindred spirits. The pit of ultimate dark shadows is for you. I was looking for you. And I wish I could just name everybody, but that would take a long time for me, and I really want to get this podcast out there. But no, for everyone who loves this idea, loves the show, loves the radio plays, the episodes, wants to hear it continue, I was looking for you, and I want to know about you. Take care.
The Pit of Ultimate Dark Shadows is a Daryl War production.